Here we go, another edition of Radio Waves. My name is Mike Stark.
And I am Richard Wagoner.
And we are covering the column for this week, which you go into some detail this week about the changes that are happening in the big company, and then you do some analysis.
So yeah.
give us your rundown. I've got some thoughts once you're done.
Yeah, and I think we're probably thinking along the same lines. As you know, from last week, we knew that Entercom is going away from local programming in spite of their actual first statement on their website is, you know, we focus on local. And I'm thinking, yeah, really, you don't do that when you have a show coming from a national standpoint. But whatever. They're trying to cut costs, so they're not going to have local shows. Some stations might have one or two at the most local shows, and the rest are going to be either regional or national. And it turns out that, and we kind of knew this, iHeart is working toward the same model. Mm. They're actually trying to make everything basically, I don't know what you want to call it, out of studio. They're actually trying to get rid of even their account executives and just have, you know, you want to advertise on our station, you sign up online or whatever it is, and everything's kind of automated now. Whether that'll work or not, I don't know. But the idea is, you're basically going to have morning and afternoon shows that may or may not be local, but at least they'll be focusing on that. Anything outside of morning drive and afternoon drive is going to be basically throwaway. So after 7 at night, there may or may not be a DJ at all. And between 10 in the morning to 3 p.m., there may or may not be a DJ at all. So you might just have a lot of playlist mixes and things like that.
Oh, boy. Plus the commercial loads.
Yeah. See, that's the problem. What they're doing is they're looking at, well, SiriusXM is good with that. I think I'll do that. You know, they don't have DJs. Well, they're forgetting that, first off, some of the stations do have DJs. They don't have them a lot, and they are voice-tracked, but they have them. But secondly, you know, I can play what I want, and I can play what I want when I want, or I can go on to Pandora and play what I want when I want. So I don't understand why the stations think that playing what they want when they want with a bunch of commercials is going to attract an audience when you aren't giving the content that, you know, that you had between. And it doesn't have to be comedy. I mean, for God's sake, everyone knows that, you know, Robert W. Morgan was a humorous guy, but not every segment he did was comedy. Same thing for Charlie Tuna, same thing for, you know, the guys on KMET and all that stuff. But you basically had someone to communicate with. They were talking to you.
A one-on-one experience.
Yeah.
One-on-one experience. Yeah.
And that's so huge. And these corporate idiots that run radio don't seem to think it matters. So I'm saying, fine, let them. I mean, I've been wanting them to die anyway. These companies should die. They don't deserve to live because they prove that radio can't be run correctly the way they're doing it. So let them die. And I think this is great. I love the fact that they're doing this because basically iHeart and Entercom are both dead.
Right. And those are the two that you focused on.
Yeah.
And let me throw this into the mix as a possibility as to why they're doing this. Are they eventually trying to get rid of those stations?
Yes.
And actually sell the stations?
Oh, no. They don't seem to be planning to sell the stations.
But the brick and mortar that they house them in.
Yeah. And I think they're going to have, for any station that has a, you know, like say, I was going to say Kevin and Bean. I guess that wouldn't be good. Stryker and Klein, for example. They're already broadcasting from their homes. They're still not using the studios. So I think you're going to see a lot more, at least among the cheap companies, a lot more home studio use.
Which can be done and is done a lot.
Yeah.
But does that take away from the intimacy of having a group together?
Yes.
In a studio and having a camaraderie.
I brought that up talking to John Phillips one time from KABC. And I said, so do you think that this will mean the end of having a radio station? And he says, I hope not, because it's really important to kind of, you know, BS with your friends at the station. It kind of builds a camaraderie. You're a team working to do something, not just individuals. So I think it opens up opportunities for competitors who, as long as they don't fall into the trap, and as long as the big companies don't drag the industry down so far that no one can compete anymore, revenue-wise, But it does open opportunities, because if you're the station that does come together and does have a baseball team that plays other, you know, whatever, I'm thinking back to the time when they used to do things like that. I remember KSUL had a team.
Yeah. In fact, you challenged us with your high school team, I think.
Yeah. I've the high school, I think our Key Club played you.
I've got an Eric check of that. Yeah. Somewhere of you challenging us. So maybe we'll drag that out somehow. Okay. But you don't think they're going to unload the stations, because
I think they're going to have the smallest station they possibly can, probably only for use in emergencies. So you're probably going to have, I can see a room the size of a typical living room that has a bunch of stations that can be used for, I'm thinking workstations that can be used for the various stations. I could see something like that. They'll probably have some sort of small office somewhere where, just in case they need it, they can use that.
But you and I have talked over and over again about how part of the problem with these big companies is they have too many stations.
Yeah.
Too many expensive stations.
Oh, yeah.
You don't think they're going to unload any of those?
They don't seem to be doing that. That's, to me, that's what they should be doing.
Yeah, And what they're doing seems like it could be a setup for that. That's why I asked.
It could be. I haven't seen any indication that that's what they're doing. But the problem is, if you're selling the station, you still have to have a station to sell, and they're getting rid of all that.
Yeah, and they're going to sell them at a lot less than what they pay for them. That's for sure.
It kind of blows me away. But again, it opens opportunities. One of the things I bring up in the column is, hey, you know, these stations think it's great that you can have a home studio and you can broadcast from home and you can set up different people from all over the country and do that. Well, hell, I can do that. I can do it on the internet. I don't have to pay the electric bill that they have to pay to broadcast. And as smart speakers come online more and more, and as people get used to using their phones more and more and more, and as radio itself keeps losing content more and more and more, you know, I gave one example, and I know there's many, many more, and some of you, your friends are doing it too, and some of my friends are doing it too, but I think if you want a mellow rock format, KNXFM93.com is as good as you're going to get. They're focusing on oldies, so you're not going to hear new stuff, but I could put together a station that plays new stuff really easily.
Yeah, and, anybody could, really.
Yeah. So basically what these companies are doing is taking radio and making it an amateur focus again.
Yeah. So, and you mentioned about the Sirius XM having to, they voice track and everything. But, you know, there is some heart put into those voice tracks on a lot of those stations.
Oh yeah.
Those people are committed to the music they're playing, and they put heart into it, and it still is a one-on-one experience for the most part. Yeah. Now the only area where there's a problem is if, say, a major musical artist dies. They can't go right on the air with that. Yeah. It's kind of a day lag. But still, they're playing music that you don't hear on the radio. They're playing it. People that are playing it are truly in love with the music they're playing. And it is a one-on-one experience, even though it's a voice track.
Right, right. And you can always do, I can do the same thing they're doing. I can do a shift once a day.
Right, exactly.
And as the licensing fees get worked out, it may become something that is a lot more economically viable to be an internet station than a broadcast station. You can do a trick. John Sebastian was doing this with one of the stations. He remember that the format that he was doing, the WOW format?
Right.
I wanted to hear it, but it was blocked by what they call a geofence. So you could only receive it if you were in an area that internet-wise was local to them. What that does, you know, you think, oh my God, that's a drag. But what it does is actually cut down the cost. You're only paying for streams to the people that you're marketing to.
Oh, okay.
So if you have a local advertiser, you know, it's nice to have distant listeners, but even you know, distant receivers from AM broadcasts, it's kind of fun to hear Chicago if you can get it, but it doesn't help their local sales. So I can kind of see why some stations do that. And as long as the fees and the licensing get worked out, I could actually see commercial stations coming up on the internet. Oh, yeah. Totally replacing broadcast stations if broadcast keeps going this direction.
Yeah, I think it's inevitable myself, because I think that they're the advertisers themselves, the ad agencies and all of that are looking more and more towards the internet and towards podcasting specifically. And some of that radio money is already going into podcasting. So it could go into streaming as well.
Yeah.
There would be no problem with that.
Right. Well, it's sad because the only reason this is getting this way is radio is not doing a good job selling itself.
That's right. That's right. And of course, you're going to get the detractors who say, you're crazy and this and that.
Yeah.
As these corporate giants continue to tumble.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know how they can rationalize this forever, but some continue to do that. And it's not like we're bad-mouthing radio. We love radio.
I love radio. I want to see it at its best. And yeah. Think back to the time when you tuned in a station at 2 a.m. and you had someone who was actually playing the music, answering the phones.
Right.
You know?
Yep. Now it's a jukebox on most stations, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Okay, the next part of your column is about us, sort of.
Yep. Well, absolutely. We always have to talk about us.
Well...
I don't know if we have the name right. It's Ask Dave, the recovering former PD.
Yeah, well, I think close enough. Close enough. And we've mentioned on this show the last couple of weeks, we are taking questions for Dave Beasing, who will be a guest on this show off and on once we get some questions. And if you have a question about anything to do with commercial radio, and we have our own questions too. We ask them every week, right?
Yeah,
pretty much. And you can ask Dave and Dave will answer them. He's not beholden to anybody anymore. He has his own company and he's out on his own. So
he rarely held back anyway. He was always assured enough in his positions that I don't think he cared.
That's right. And he's been a consultant throughout the country. So he has a real good feel for commercial radio and from the outside now, because he's sort of stepped away. I think he might still be consulting a little, but we'll ask him all about that once we get on the air. Yeah. But Mike at laradiowaves.com is where you send your questions for Dave. And what is your address? You can send them to you too.
rwagoner@socalradiowaves.com.
Okay.
It's in the links in the column.
So if you have questions for Dave, once we get a few questions, we'll get him on here and we'll answer those. So that was the second part of your column. Now, the third part of your column, I've got your solution, but go ahead and tell us what the problem is.
The problem is in the areas where you have dropouts. Now, I haven't had the problem.
We're talking about Sirius XM.
Yeah, Sirius XM. There's dropouts in certain areas that were finally traced a year or two ago to cell towers operating near the same frequency as Sirius XM, causing kind of an interference. So you can now finally get a band pass filter and have it installed in your car. And that's the problem, is that they make you have it installed instead of just allowing you to buy it. Now, a bandpass filter is pretty easy to install. It'll probably take you about 5 minutes once you reach the antenna terminal. So why are they making you pay $80 to have it installed? I have no idea.
Okay. I'll solve the entire problem for you. Right. You get rid of your Sirius XM radio in the car. Get rid of it. Get it out of there. Throw it in the trash. Get rid of your subscription. Get rid of it. Okay?
All right.
Get a Bluetooth in your car.
Yeah.
Buy the internet version of Sirius XM at a fraction
of
what you pay.
Yeah.
And you're going to get the same thing you get with Sirius XM from the satellite. And it's going to come in clearer. You're not going to have those dead spots. And it's going to be like, I think it's $4.99 a month compared to whatever the outrageous thing is they charge you now.
Yeah.
For in the car. That solves the problem.
I wonder if those connected cars, you know, the ones that have more and more apps inside the radio, I wonder if there's going to be a Sirius XM app that's built in. And
Well, my new car, I got a Traverse at the beginning of the year, and it will accept, it plays off of my phone. It won't accept every app that's on my phone, but it will accept certain apps. TuneIn. Okay.
Does it show up on your screen then? It
shows up on the screen.
Oh, how cool.
Shows up all the information about the songs. Shows up everything. It's just like.
It is better because you get the better reception and
if you have a car like I do, and the modern cars have the Wi-Fi, you pay extra obviously, but you pay a monthly Wi-Fi charge in your car. Then you have Wi-Fi in your car, and there's no breakup. I mean, I didn't have that when I first got the car, and I was just using normal AT&T data. It was working pretty good. It very seldom had any buffering issues. But now that I'm using the Wi-Fi that's in the car, it's as good, if not better, than any sort of transmission that you're going to get.
Interesting. From the cars must use nice antennas and stuff like that. So that's
cool. Yeah, so that's the way you solve it. And you also cut down on your Sirius XM bill.
Yeah.
I was on a yearly plan, and it was like $125 a year, something like that.
That's probably discounted because I think the normal rate's 140 something.
Okay, so let's say 140. So I decided I was going to go this whole route. So I called Sirius XM. I said, I want to disconnect my Sirius in my car, and I want to add the internet. Well, I had so much credit left for the rest of the year on that $125 yearly basis that it paid through halfway of next year all of the fees that I would pay for the internet version of it. I know it's a little convoluted, but the basic is get it for your phone, put it into your car, and Bluetooth it in your car, and you'll save money, and it'll be as crystal clear as possible. And Richard wouldn't have needed to write that little column he did this week in the column.
That's true. I could cut out a whole paragraph.
It's already out. It's already in print. It's already on the internet. So, but for those
who probably mention, because we never do this, we should probably mention that it goes into the Southern California newspaper group of newspapers, which
we
includes
don't do that
the
anymore.
Daily Breeze, the Daily News, the Press Telegram. I forget all the different. There's like 12 regional papers.
Are you in the Register?
And the Register, yes, Orange County Register.
The OC Register, that's
and
a big
And it goes
paper.
Online usually by Tuesday, and it's in print and most of the papers on Sunday.
Yeah, you send it out, and I think the guy glazes over it, your editor glazes over it, and it goes up immediately because it goes up pretty quick.
They're pretty trusting of me when I write. I have to be appreciative of that, but sometimes it makes me wonder what gets submitted by the other guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so you can, and it's usually in on Sundays now. That seems to be where they've moved. It was Fridays, now it's Sundays.
Yeah, that used to always go with the Friday entertainment section because it was kind of a weekend entertainment, and since there's no weekend entertainment, that section's gone.
But guess what? If you're listening to this podcast, you don't need to get it in the paper. That's a little secret.
That is true.
All right. Does that cover the week's events, at least for now?
That is it for now.
Okay. We will see you next week.
All right. Sounds good.